Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, one and all. It is the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, live and direct from St. Louis, Missouri. How y'all doing? You ready to talk Black history? Well, hello, I'm here to do that. I'm here to take us to that. And today, sort of like this new launch I'm really excited about because, I mean, look, I teach Black history, so why not hold a space for Talk Black History? And today I wanted to just really turn attention to this important, really important recent article that came out that centers six myths about the history of Black people in America. And so gracious that Vox, V-O-X, that they saw value to publish this story. It came out February 18, 2020, and the editors, Jessica Mercado and Karen Turner, they're the ones who put it together, and then they compiled six scholars to address six of these myths that seem to persist about the history of Black people in America. And so as they open up on the article, and again, for those who are listening, you can go to the description and you can see the link to the article there as well. But they open up rightfully reminding us that to study American history is really an exercise in learning about these partial truths and where the patriotic fables can come through. And so through that, you find that these textbooks and the curriculum throughout the country, that Black people are just like, as they say, quarantined to a short section about slavery and quotes about Martin Luther King Jr. And so that means that a lot of people, and many people can walk away from their high school classes without really any deep understanding and thus perhaps a severe lack of understanding of the history and deeper perspective of Black people and the evolution of Black history and culture. So through this, they wanted to center important critical myths that have persisted. And so we have Professor Shanette Garrett Scott. She's an associate professor of history and African American studies at the University of Mississippi, and also the author of Banking on Freedom, Black Women in the United States, Finance Before the New Deal. And she talked about this myth, this the first myth, that enslaved people didn't have any money. And as she's talking about, enslaved people were money. Their bodies and their labor were the capital that fueled the country's founding and its wealth. And so she goes on to really offer some Charleston deeper understandings about where enslaved market women would really be central in these local marketplaces. And she also talks about that, you know, amid the Civil War, the hundreds of thousands of Black people that they're trying to reconstruct their lives. And through it, it also is about trying to financially repair their lives. So it's a myth that Black people, that they didn't have money, because they did. So again, check out what Professor Garrett Scott had there on that first myth. So the second myth that seems to persist is that, that Black revolutionary soldiers were patriots. So again, we got this myth, this believed myth by some people that Black revolutionary soldiers were patriots. So here we have scholar LeGarrett King. He's an education professor at the at the University of Missouri Columbia, and he's also the founding director of the Carter Center for K-12 Black History and Education. And he's really coming to empower us about the myth. This much has been made, as he said, about colonial Black Americans, some free, some enslaved, that they fought during the American Revolution. But Black revolutionary soldiers are usually called Black patriots. But the term patriot is reserved within this revolutionary discourse to refer to the men of the 13 colonies who believed in the ideas expressed in the Declaration of Independence. So again, you can go and read more of what he was talking about and really sort of trying to deconstruct that myth. Again, this northern myth, if you will. So the next myth that seems to persist is that Black men were injected with syphilis in the Tuskegee experiment. And so yours truly, Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, who is an associate professor of history and African and African American studies at Washington University in St. Louis, that I wrote about, I mean, I'm a medical historian, so I've seen this. I teach one of the only medical history courses in the country that empowers undergraduates to be racially informed about the Black experience before med school. And this is a big myth that I have to remind them that, no, the government did not give syphilis to 600 Black men in Macon County, Alabama. However, that does not mean that they were not subjected to just exploit and trauma of their bodies and their minds, and that they were preyed upon essentially in many ways because they were perceived as poor and uneducated. And so they were lured by, some of them were lured by free medical examinations, hot meals, presumably free treatment, but only for the minor injuries. They could get rides to and from the hospital, guaranteed burial stipends, but only up to $50 to be paid to their survivors. So this, the exploit of these men would go on for over 40 years until the whistleblower, until a whistleblower exposed the story in the summer of 1972. And then a lot more would change that we are benefiting from in many ways about laws that are in place so that way others can't be exploited like that. So again, go check that out. That's us trying to combat, it's me writing to say that there is an important history that we have to recognize about this Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male that emerged from a study group formed in 1932 connected with the U.S. Public Health Service. So go educate yourself. It's out there. We wrote it. So next we got Professor Douglas J. Flo. He's an assistant professor of history at Washington University in St. Louis, and he's really he is combating the myth that Black people in early Jim Crow America didn't fight back. They fought back. They were constantly faced with threats of ritualistic public executions by white mobs and unpunished attacks by individuals, as well as police brutality, as Professor Flo is reminding us. But through and in the face of this violence, as he aptly defines it and moving it and getting us to think about this, that some African Americans actually did physically and psychologically, they fought back. They didn't just take it, that although they were distressed by this public racial violence, they're unwilling to accept it. So again, he goes and sort of historically provides a deeper understanding that, yes, again, Black people fought back. You construct that myth. So let's see what we have next is Jason Allen. He's a public historian and a facilitator at Exchanges, a cultural diversity and inclusion training consultancy. And he's combating the myth that crack in the quote-unquote ghetto was the largest drug crisis of the 1980s. And so he goes on to really go into this important history. Oh, my gosh, this is a critical period when we sort of really think about the surgence of policing and the history or the assumptions that permeate in many people's minds about the 1980s. And so in there, he's looking both from the 80s and the 90s to sort of see what is the pop culture perception, but then what happens when white people are caught with crack? What does it look like with Black people? How do we see things changing? What percentages sort of changed with drug sentencing for African Americans? And then also, what is the white imagination about drug use, if you will, in the 1980s, and how do we sort of remember that history? So it's another myth that we gotta combat. So next, Dale Ander, he is an associate professor at California State University in Sacramento, and he is combating, he wrote about the final myth that's listed in the article that he's pushing back and getting us to understand that there's this myth that seems to permeate that all Black people were enslaved until emancipation. That is one of the biggest myths. All were enslaved until Emancipation Proclamation, or also until Juneteenth. So in reality, you have, as he's pointing out and really laying out for you in bite size, that you have these biracial communities where you have people who were living free, and that emancipations would come in various ways, and that it wasn't always large. Sometimes it could be more on the individual level. And of course, he's turning attention to slave states. And then, of course, we have to think about slave societies and then societies with slaves. So again, this perception of freedom, 1863, it would mean that those who were still enslaved would then become free. But I actually want to remind us too that do not perceive that history as celebratory, because it was far from that. You're having Black people try to reconstruct their lives, find families, and virtually start over without homes, without clothes, without health care, without all kinds of things. And so you have millions of Black people that are essentially placed in the hands of the government. It's a transfer of ownership in many ways, from private ownership of slave owners to also to the state. But that's a whole other thing that is beyond these myths, but it's a part of the history. So again, tonight, and coming on and really setting the platform for this conversation of Talk Black History, it's about, yeah, sure, I'm launching this in Black History Month, but it's about Blackness is all the time and every day. And it has, this even has historical connections for me to launch this during Black History Month because of the work of the father of Black history. And if you don't know who that is and you can't recall, then it's about time to get empowered and know the father of Black history. Although, you know, everybody can argue this person's the father of Black history, this person's the mother of Black history. Well, look, the father of Black history, when we sort of look at who professionalized the study of Black history and Black culture, contrary to belief, it was not W.E.B. Du Bois. Wow. W.E.B. Du Bois would do a lot for us, write a lot of books, you know, be involved in many things across the diaspora. Carter G. Woodson is the father of Black history, was, still is. It is because of him that we have the Journal of African American History. You might want to check it out. It's the oldest professional Black history journal that is still in operation to this day. And in addition to that, he also founded what is now and what has continued to be the largest professional conference where you can go and learn any and everything about Black history. And it's called the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. Yours truly is a life member. I have been going for a long time. This is where Black history and its origin and its evolution was started. And you find that teachers and all kinds of people across the country were invested in Black history. I bet you some of you didn't even know that they used to send Black history kits across the country. There used to be so-called Negro History Day parades. I mean, it was a celebration. So there was no complaint about, why do we have the shortest month? Look, in fact, it only used to be a week. So now it's about expanding. It's a new day. It's a new century, and we're building on it. And I'm a part of that legacy. And all of those who are professional historians are extending that legacy of it's about knowing, and then it's about empowering the future to know even more about this past. So there's a lot to Black history. There's some deep things about it. And through this space, I'm going to empower us. You need to know. Because I'm not relying on the fact that my students are going to go home and tell their families or tell you all. Because they're not. They're going to do what's assigned. And for me, it has to go beyond the classroom. We have to get deeper understanding and awareness of Black history and culture, as well as Black studies. Do you even know the difference? Do you even know the discipline? There is a discipline of African American studies or Black studies. There is the discipline of history, and then within history, there's the fields of African American history. There's the fields of African history and studies of the African diaspora. The only history of Black people is not just about the history of us or Black people within North America. I know because I was trained in the only comparative Black history program in the country. That means that I got a PhD in comparative Black history. So I've studied the experiences of people of African descent, yes, within the African American experience, but I also went further to understand the Black experience within Central and Latin America, within the Caribbean, as well as within Western Africa. you know, you got to go deeper when it comes to Black history. You can't just be confined to the block, to your state, to a moment, to somebody's little news feed telling you, did you know about this Black first? Let's go deeper. So that said, who knows? This is just going to evolve into as much Black history that it possibly can be. And for anybody who's read my award-winning book, yes, I'm saying award-winning because, look, Black history isn't always given awards. And I worked hard for that book to get 2 awards and all the acclaim that is happening. But in there, if you look at my acknowledgments, some people say, oh, no, she had everybody in there. Yeah, man, because we got a lot of people who are involved and connected in helping me to write that important book. And when I say that, that meant conversations and connections and meeting people in the path of, in the journey of constructing that book. And hopefully some of them will get on the call with us in the future so you all can hear in real time from other scholars just like me. There's a lot of other nerds like me. There's a lot of other Black nerds. There's a lot of other female nerds. There's a lot of just cool nerds. A whole lot of it. Historians don't get enough attention. Look, I'm going to make sure we get more attention because we're doing the work that a lot of people over here use in our work. If you don't actually always want to give us credit, or maybe you don't even want to think about calling us to be a consultant on a film, but it's a new day, okay? It's time to talk Black history. So with Dr. Moose Akeem involved, it's going to be high level. Because, again, Black history matters. I teach. I write. I think about Black history all the time and Black studies all the time. This semester, I'm teaching medicine, healing, and experimentation in the contours of Black history. Yeah, that's a heck of a title, isn't it? But, wow, those students come running. And then the other class I'm teaching is terror and violence in the Black Atlantic. So for me, it's all things Black history, all things Black studies. In the fall, I'll be teaching history, murder, and the archive. Oh, yeah, they teach that in college. Whoop, whoop, yours truly. And then the other class that I'm going to be teaching in the fall, I'm just getting y'all prepared because these conversations are going to, you're going to hear me in the fall, but mapping the world of quote-unquote Black criminality. And that course really looks at the history of policing of Black communities as well as looking at the social history of Black crime. So through that, and I'm sharing all these classes, and that isn't even all of my classes, but what I am sharing is so you can be prepared and you can be excited and you can want to come on and learn more and hear more and be empowered, because the bookstores are closing, people aren't really reading, and so how do we get you engaged? How do you not forget? How do you have a future that still remembers its past? And that is bringing it to the masses. And so I am fearless when it comes to centering these conversations about Black history. There's some really important books you need to know about. So I'm going to be bringing in as much as I can where you all will know about, you know, some new books that have come out, new articles. This isn't just about the book club of some famous person. You know what? I'll call this the Moose Akeem must reads that you all, the people you need to know. Look, it's important. And you want to know and learn from the people who know how to dig, who know how to really storytell in telling this very deep and complicated Black past. And there's a lot of people. I'm not alone. I want to make sure that you all know so that way you can be empowered. That way you're not just like picking up some Joe Blow off the street and inviting them to come talk about Black history, and then they're over here recreating these myths. We can't have that. We can't. We got to go smarter. We got to go deeper. We got to talk Black history. It's just time. So here's to a Black historical, magnificent future of all of this. I'm so excited because I've been waiting, and Spirit has just led me to this, because I've heard so many people tell me, I love Black history. Oh, I just want to talk Black. Oh, yeah. Great. Let's do it. Great. I don't want to be alone in that. I know sometimes I could ramble on. My students are probably like, oh, my gosh, she just knows so much about Black history. Yeah, because I came here to take us forward with deep remembrance of what happened in the past. So, again, yours truly, Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, the one and only in the world. I am the award-winning author of Slavery at Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness in the Middle Passage. And you know, there's just so many important books. I mean, if we had more time right now, I'd just start spitting out more books to tell you what books that you need to be reading. But I can tell you what my students are going to be reading this week. And one of them is the award-winning book by Sarah Haley, No Mercy Here. And it's looking at gender and Jim Crow, gender and the carceral state connected with women in the Jim Crow South, and sort of really looking across the South. Phenomenal book. So students in Terror and Violence in the Black Atlantic are reading that. And then in the other class, we're reading Ann Parsons. Actually, I think we're doing Wendy Guinevere's The Peculiar Institution and the Modernizing of Psychiatry. So sort of looking at race and psychiatry in the during slavery from like 1830 to 1880. So yeah, we're going deep. Wherever Mustakeem, wherever this Mustakeem is, Dr. Mustakeem, it's gonna go deep. You're gonna learn and you're gonna find out about a lot of we gotta go more than just Black first. There's a lot to the history. And if you're not gonna read it, then I'll make sure that I pull some things out so you all know and you can get centered in these deeper historical understandings. It's critical, it's necessary, and it's a must. So we'll see. Here it comes, y'all. Here comes the future. Here comes the past. I came here to take us there. So, again, expect more in the near and the far future. But I think I'm going to go ahead and sign out. I think that I've brought us full circle. Again, just to remind us what we talked about, we talked about the article that came out in Vox, V-O-X, that was a Black History Month 2020 article looking at six myths connected with the history of Black people in America and the myths that we need to combat. And there were six scholars, including yours truly, Dr. Mustakeem, who is really offering a deeper narrative to understand more than the superficiality that I think that many times we're invited to just embrace. So go deep, keep reading, keep learning, keep wanting to expand your mind, okay? Just gotta be deep on the path. So I bid you well, I bid you peace and progress and stay productive. And you know, if you're writing, write on. If you're reading, read on. But just go far in the cosmos and really trying to upgrade your mind and your intellect. That's why I am here, to empower us to that higher level. So I'm going to end here. Again, until the next time, we got to get ready. It's about time to what? Talk Black history. Again, I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem. All right. So I'll end out here. Peace out, y'all. Bye-bye.